Imagine waking one night to find yourself the reluctant ruler of an entire supernatural species. This is precisely the situation Lestat de Lioncourt, once the rebellious brat prince of vampire lore, now faces as prince of all vampires. His court at the restored Chateau de Lioncourt represents an unprecedented evolution in vampire society. For millennia, these immortals lived as solitary predators or in small, secretive covens. Now they gather to form committees, debate policies, and even draft a constitution under the guidance of the ancient Roman vampire Marius. Lestat's leadership reveals surprising depth beneath his flamboyant exterior. Though impulsive by nature, he demonstrates wisdom in delegating authority. Scientific matters to the brilliant Farid and Seth, historical perspective to Marius, business affairs to Gregory. Yet the burden of leadership weighs heavily on him. "I am alone," he confesses in a rare moment of vulnerability. "Amel is with me night and day, yet I am alone." This isolation is temporarily relieved through reconciliation with his eternal love, Louis, who promises with biblical gravity, "Whither thou goest, I will go. Thy people shall be my people." The vampire world's tenuous stability shatters when Lestat finds himself plagued by recurring dreams, vivid nightmares of a magnificent city falling into the sea, accompanied by the agonized cries of thousands. These aren't ordinary dreams, but historical echoes arriving with devastating clarity. Crystalline towers shattering like glass, streets flooding with seawater turned crimson, and faces that seem hauntingly familiar, yet impossibly ancient. What makes these visions disturbing is their collective nature. Vampires worldwide report identical dreams, describing the same peculiar architecture, blending geometric precision with organic forms, the same strange symbols, and distinctive pale blue-white stone. This suggests either a collective memory in vampire blood or a powerful psychic event transcending time. When Lestat questions Amel, the spirit entity connecting all vampires, about these visions, he encounters evasion. Amel initially denies sharing the dreams, but trembles and weeps when certain buildings appear, particularly a grand temple complex, suggesting first-hand experience. The mystery deepens with beings who appear human but aren't. A prisoner named Derek displays extraordinary abilities, prompting the ancient vampire Rochamondes to exclaim, "He's not human." More shocking is the suggestion that Derek has existed longer than either vampire, startling for beings who measure their ages in millennia. These beings possess abilities defying both natural and supernatural laws. When Rochamondes severs Derek's arm, it heals perfectly. More astonishingly, the severed limb regenerates into a perfect duplicate, his son, Dertu, distinguished only by subtle golden streaks in his hair. The vampire world originated with ancient spirits perceptible only to powerful witches. Twin witches Makare and Maharet communicated with these entities near Mount Carmel, including Amel, who could mysteriously create invisible wounds. When Egypt's queen Akasha captured the twins and destroyed their homeland, Amel sought revenge. During a palace assassination attempt, Amel merged with the queen's dying blood, creating the first vampire. This transformation spread selectively, eventually reaching the separated twins. For millennia, vampires believed Amel was merely a spirit merged with blood. However, mysterious non-humans appeared who recognized Amel's name and understood aspects of his nature he claimed to have forgotten. The truth emerged when Kapetria revealed to the vampire court that 12,000 years ago, she and her companions were created as replimoids, organic beings resembling humans but with different neural circuitry. Their creators, the parents, were extraterrestrial beings with white faces, round black eyes, and lipless mouths. These replimoids were designed to be unkillable and renewable, created to infiltrate Earth and trigger a catastrophe favoring reptiles and birds over mammals. Capetria reveals Amel was a superior Replimoid sent to destroy violent primates with a plague. However, Amel betrayed his makers. He destroyed the transmitting stations, never released the plague, and immunized Earth species against it. He then created Atlantia, the true Atlantis, a city of translucent towers with advanced technology, moving sidewalks, electric stairways, self-driving pods, and buildings that became opaque with a hand wave. Most remarkably, Amel could plant tower seeds that grew into complete skyscrapers in sunlight. Replimoids are particularly dangerous because they multiply through dismemberment, each severed part potentially becoming a new individual. They survive decapitation, dismemberment, and immolation. Yet despite their alien nature, they display human emotions. Derek weeps meeting his son, Capetria shows compassion toward vampires, and Garrickin appreciates human art and culture. For millennia, vampires existed in a mystical network connected through Amel's consciousness. When Queen Akasha was destroyed, this network nearly collapsed until Amel found new hosts in Makare and later Lestat. Now, threatened by Replimoids seeking to reclaim Amel, the vampires attempt a radical experiment, temporarily stopping Lestat's heart to see if they can safely disconnect all vampires from Amel without destroying them. The theory suggests each vampire could become independent with their own etheric body and brain, eliminating vulnerability to a single host. During the experiment, Lestat is transported to a sunlit room where Amel, with red hair and green eyes, welcomes him to Atalantia, confirming his connection to the lost city. When Lestat's heart restarts, they discover the experiment worked. Every vampire felt a shock but recovered quickly. Despite initial panic, no vampire loses powers or deteriorates. However, Amel remains bound solely to Lestat, unable to travel into other minds as before, leaving the prince both uniquely powerful and vulnerable. Capetria lures Lestat to Notre Dame, where Rashomondas captures him. Her plan? While Lestat lies unconscious at sunrise, she'll replace his blood with Replimoid blood, open his skull, and attempt to transfer Amel to another body. When Lestat awakens, Amel's presence has vanished. Addressing the vampire court about this transformation, he urges them to sanctify their existence through their own faith, not external powers. He reminds them that those who survived centuries did so by valuing something greater than themselves, pursuing knowledge and beauty despite losing everything they loved. The resolution comes in Paris when Lestat encounters a young man with suntanned skin, deep red hair, and bright green eyes, Amel, reborn in a replica of his original Atlantean body. Their emotional reunion includes tears and a blood kiss before Amel's Replimoid guardians reclaim him, though with the promise to meet again. The revelation of Amel's extraterrestrial scientific origin transforms the vampires' understanding of themselves, yet doesn't diminish their spiritual questions. Lestat's journey from rebellious fledgling to separated individual reflects the central theme of finding meaning in immortality. Without Amel, he must redefine himself. His insight that to love even one person truly is the beginning of wisdom suggests meaning comes from connection rather than power or longevity. Rice suggests immortality's greatest challenge isn't physical survival, but maintaining emotional and spiritual vitality across centuries. The enduring vampires cared about something greater than themselves, despite watching everything they cherished fade away. This capacity to find meaning in an endless existence, to love the savage garden despite its cruelty, represents the true legacy of Atlantis, a civilization that valued beauty enough to build translucent towers reaching skyward.